Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth.
Drama.
Smooth Drama.
All right, all right. Welcome to Smooth Drama with your host, Dick Hugger, a.k.a. F the N-Word, and I'm joined by my illustrious co-host, Miss 100%. And tonight on the show, we're going to be real serious tonight. We have an interview with Miss Angela DeFron, the founder of jodysvoice.org. So if you want to holler at us, the number is 646-929-2037. Once again, we have Angela DeFron, founder of jodysvoice.org. And the number to call in is 646-929-2037. We, of course, encourage you to link up with us. You can go to our smoothdrama.com site, check us out, learn about us a little bit, tell us what you like, join our Yahoo group. We, of course, want you to also link up with us on a more personal level. On Twitter, you can follow me. I'm Smooth Drama. On Facebook, my yearbook tagged. I'm Dick Hugger. Add me and I'll add you back. But I know, as always, and I say it, and I really mean it, because I know y'all really mean it. You don't really want to holler at me. You want to get up and close and personal with my illustrious co-host. So 100, tell them how they can just get all up in your grill.
They can't. But if they want to holler at me, Miss 100% spelled out on Facebook, Miss 100% spelled out at yahoo.com, and at 100%, they can follow me on Twitter. Twitter me. Tweet. Yeah. What is it? Tweet. Twit.
Get your tweet and retweet on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well.
Along those lines.
I haven't even sent out one tweet yet, so.
Well, hey, that first one will be your first.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm a Twitter virgin.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to have to break the ice one of these days. Speaking of breaking the ice, you know, we got Mad Thug Love, and we're all for the anti-snitch movement, psych. But it looks like the anti-snitch movement has got a major detriment going. There's a Blockers Fine Foods down in Georgia who the owner put up a sign, "Free chicken for a year, inquire inside." And, you know, of course, the people down there going crazy. You know, one person, Tom Harders, and his name is Tom Harders for real. I didn't make that up.
His name is
he said, "I would definitely love to have free chicken for a year." And why Blockers Fine Food put the sign up? Because they had a sign saying they're selling chicken out of steel. And it was posted outside, but this past week, someone literally took the sign and stole some money. So they want the sign back, and obviously they want to find out who did it. So they offered that anyone who comes with the information to catch the criminal, you're going to get free chicken for a year to whoever comes forward with the information that leads to the arrest of those responsible.
Now, see, you know what? That's kind of dangerous.
No. And let me keep going here. It's 16 pieces of fried chicken monthly, along with fries, coleslaw, dinner rolls, and some sweet tea.
See, I was playing about the sweet tea, but they really giving out the sweet tea?
They giving out sweet tea.
You know what? This thing does not stand a chance.
Yeah, somebody's going to jail.
These pieces of chicken a month? Oh, shit.
Hey.
He's
forgetting the fries and the coleslaw, dinner rolls, the sweet tea to wash that down? Somebody's going to jail. You know, they got nervous.
Even if your ass didn't do it, you're going to jail.
Yeah, somebody's getting it. They ratting on everybody. If you look suspicious walking by there.
If your ass crawls against the light, your ass is getting turned in because they want the chicken.
Yeah.
That's a hell of a deal.
Yeah, I know. You think about it, and I'm not the stereotype, but in a black neighborhood, you offer chicken. The switchboard is probably bing, 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 bing.
I would say in any damn neighborhood, if you offering that big ass meal once a month for free to turn somebody in, I don't see who wouldn't do it.
I don't know. I mean, they say that black folks is predisposed to eating chicken.
I've heard that, but I have met a white person that don't like chicken, so
yeah,
be kind of hard pressed to say it's just black people that like chicken.
Yeah, I know everybody loves chicken. I think.
Yeah.
Anyway. You better have if you was in that area, you better have an alibi. And speaking of alibis. There's a supposed groundbreaking innovation in the aftershave industry, so that men who make up excuses about going to the strip club can now have the smells to back them up. Mavericks Strip Club in South Africa has launched a line of alibi aftershave products designed to make men smell the way they would if their excuses for staying out late were actually legit. So if you have, like, my car broke down, then mm-hmm. you have a cologne that makes you smell like fuel, burnt rubber grease, and steel.
Okay.
Yeah.
Huh. You know what? Wouldn't it just be easier if I could to tell the truth and just not do it? You know, I mean.
You make that sound so easy.
It is easy. Hell, if you don't like the person you with, get with somebody you do like so you don't have to lie.
No. See, you skirting the argument. They went to the strip club and they... Obviously, whoever they're with may have a problem with them going to the strip club. And so, in order to avoid the argument, my car broke down. Smell me. You smell like hot grease and goop. Boom. Problem solved.
No. Because it's too perfect.
Here you go.
Come on now. Yeah, we all know. Listeners, we all know. I can speak for black women. Black women is like born human lie detectors.
Okay.
I don't care how hard you try to hide something, we gonna find out. So might as well just tell the truth up front.
Okay. Well, thank you.
You want to rub that shit on yourself, go right ahead. You still going to get caught.
You're going to stink and get caught anyway. That's what you're trying to say.
Get caught and get cussed the hell out all at the same time. So
yeah, they're not going to hire you as their marketing manager. I just...
<That's fine.
laughs> Speaking of that, we got a new concept tonight. You want to break down our new concept, Ms. 100?
Yes, a new concept when reality should actually be fantasy.
And on that point, Ryan Downing, our number one case for why reality should be fantasy. Brian Downing, Alabama fan, celebrating Alabama's waxing the LSU.
That shit is so embarrassing.
Now, what he does is him and a bunch of other Alabama fans have surrounded an LSU fan who obviously was depressed, drank himself out, and had passed out in the bar. So, what does Brian Downing do? Brian Downing pulls his junk out and presses it on the neck of the unconscious LSU fan. And to top it off, he and his friends take pictures and video, and obviously they get posted on the net, and he gets arrested for sexual assault after the fact.
You know what? That's the gayest shit I've ever heard of. Like, why would one guy want to put his, like you said, junk on another man? You just nasty, Brian Downing. And then, on top of that, his friends is nasty as hell, too, and they should go to jail for being accomplices because they videotaped it and took pictures and cheered the shit on. But let me say this. This is not typical. They like, oh, yeah, Alabama. You know, that's Alabama. Fuck y'all. Alabama, it don't have nothing to do with Alabama. That's just an ignorant-ass dude that's doing that. That is not typical behavior for people who live in Alabama. And he was not part of the team. He's just a guy from out of nowhere doing that shit.
Okay.
So,
well,
but I'll comment, that ain't typical of Alabama.
Okay.
I'm just saying, shit.
We got you, but still, at the same time, that should have been a fantasy. It's something that you draw a picture of. You get what I'm saying? You draw a picture of it. You get somebody, you commission the picture of it, post it on the web. You don't do that in real life. Now you're going to go to jail because you thought putting your junk on somebody's neck and taking a picture of it was funny.
Or you say, dude, you know what would be funny? If I put my nuts on my, if I put my nuts on his head, you know, bet, you know, you fast and be done with it. You don't do it.
That's why reality should be fantasy.
Brian Downey going to
another case. Blake Sandiford.
Here we go.
Oh, he was arrested in Metairie, Louisiana for taking video while he sexually abused his dog. And he's posting it on the internet. And I don't know how he thought this was a good idea. I can't get into the understanding of posting the video of you raping your own dog. He, of course, is in jail now, and will be spending his days probably fighting off abuse himself.
Even think that should be a fantasy. It just, something just seemed like it would be wrong for that to just even be a fantasy type thing. It's,
right, but see, that's the thing. If you're thinking it, just keep it as a thought. It's not a good idea as a fantasy, because you know, right. the first case with Mr. Downing, when you're joking with your friends, that's funny. Now, you bring up, hey, man, you know, if we was chilling and, man, if I was just hitting my dog and I posted it on the internet, that would probably not be funny. And the party would probably end with all individuals.
I would agree with you.
Yeah. I got to go pick up my mom. She's at Walmart waiting on me.
But I got to go to church. So I can pray for you, because something wrong with you.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Mr. Blake Sandiford. Hey, good luck with that. I hope they treat you nicely in jail. And on that note, we're going to go on our commercial break before we bring Ms. DeFron on. So this is our first song of the night. This is Frankie Flowers, Big Bad Wolf. Listen to the lyrics, y'all.
Drama, you all with Big and Miss 100%, and that was Frankie Flowers, Big Bad Wolf. I did not like that song, but anyway, it was kind of sad.
Yeah.
Let's get tonight's guest on, Miss Angela Daffron, founder of JoeyVoice.org.
Yeah, it didn't even make the 10 o'clock news.
Yeah.
Sad how that goes.
Very sad. Wow.
See, that is a familiar phenomenon. I think it's a terrible tragedy when folks are taking advantage of and we have no recourse on how we can get with them.
Hi, you've reached Daffron Marketing. We're unavailable to take your call right now.
Okay.
Yeah,
it's a real sad thing when something like that is common, you know, when stories like that is common.
Yeah. I mean, you know, for example, there was a situation with a woman who helped a guy out, Tracy Lundin. She helped a guy, Sean Moore, with his homework when she was 12 years old. He stalked her for 17 years.
Wow.
Yeah, it just helping the guy with his homework.
Right.
Now, how you help someone with their homework and they go to stalking you and I can't live without you?
Yeah.
I don't know and don't understand
That, you know, in there was a story about a police officer that gave a woman a ticket. He stopped her for speeding. He gave her a ticket, but then he used the system to find out her address, went to her house and wrote a note, said that he couldn't get her off his mind and he wanted to take her out to dinner, and left a flower on her car. And she called the police and, you know, had him, he lost his job behind it. And a lot of people don't understand that when someone is stalking you or they're, you know, after you, that is like a common thing to leave a flower behind. They think it's like a nice gesture, but it's not. It's just an indication that they're kind of watching you wherever you go. So she was spooked out by it. A lot of people said, oh, that was so sweet. It wasn't sweet. It was scary.
Yeah. Very scary.
Very scary.
I mean, and I read that story like, oh, yeah, can I get a date? No. If I wanted to date you or hook up with you, I would have called you. Or
right.
Would have talked to you right there on the spot. Or maybe you wouldn't have gave me a damn ticket.
And why did you just not give me a ticket and say, well, why don't you go out to dinner, have coffee with me?
Well, that could be misconstrued as.
Yeah, kind of like, yeah, I guess.
That would be coercion. So
she looking up my address and all that, and that's not what's up.
that is definitely, that is the exact opposite of what's up.
Right. And then I know that but the state needs to do a better job with these stalking laws, because as of right now, a person can basically do anything to you as long as they don't touch you. But by the time that they actually touch you, you're dead. It's too late. Right. So they can keep calling you. They can keep following you around. They can, you know, as long as they're not doing anything to harm you.
Well, I know that was one of the things we wanted to speak with our guest for the night. Right now we're having a little trouble getting in contact with Mr. Fry, but hopefully we'll be able to get in contact with her and talk with her further about this issue. It's the stalker issue. With the advent of the internet, You can try to avoid someone and you could not even know that they're technically stalking you.
Right.
Hold on a second, I believe we have our guest. Hello, caller, you're on the air. Welcome to Smooth Drama.
Hi, this is Angela.
Hey, Mr. Fry.
Hello, Mr. Fry.
Hi, how are you?
Great. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
All right. So I want to tell the people about Jordy's Voice and why you started it.
Okay. I had a good, close family friend that in January of 2007 was stalked and murdered in Kansas, where I grew up. And at that time, pretty much the police knew exactly who to look for as soon as she went missing, because he'd been accused of stalking almost 20 other women. But the way the laws were written at the time, they couldn't do anything to take him in and prevent that murder until it was too late for Jody. So initially, right after that, that was pretty much my first knowledge or experience with stalking in anything other than a few news stories that you hear about celebrities every now and then.
Right.
And I just felt like it couldn't ever happen again. That, you know, it was just too tragic that this had happened when it should have been able to be avoided, when the police, when everybody knew that this person was a problem. So I started working on getting laws passed in Kansas to prevent and fill those holes in the laws, Jody's Law, which was passed the next year. And then the year after that, I successfully lobbied for it in New Mexico, where I was living at the time.
So in
my own stalker. Sorry.
Oh, well, I hope that was resolved. But I was going to ask you, why do you think that these laws aren't national? What do you think is the impediment to these laws being passed nationally in uniform?
Well, there is a federal stalking law into effect, and every state does have its own stalking law. In Kansas, the way it was written is that it called for there to be a credible threat before stalking could exist in the eyes of the law. And now what's a credible threat to me might not be anything that even bothers you, so it's just too vague of terms. And
right.
Then in another way, it's not – stalking is a crime that really falls on the victim to prove the case almost. The victim needs to keep logs of everything that's happening, because if you're to call the police tonight and say, you know, I received this text message, they're going to say, okay, thanks. But when you tell the police in context of, I received this text message tonight and these other 100 text messages this week, and the person was driving by my house and the person called me 6 times, and, you know, the whole thing in context, because stalking is about the only crime that I know of anyways that is a crime that consists of a lot of little things that wouldn't be crimes in themselves. You know, for me to text message you isn't a crime, but if I'm text messaging you and starting to threaten you 50, 60, 100, or 200 times a day, that suddenly becomes harassment and possibly stalking, depending on what the case is. So
I
it really falls to the victim.
I have a question about the text messaging and the calling. There was a problem with someone who constantly texted all day long and called and emailed and being asked to stop, never stopped, and it went on for days, and then contacted the police, and they basically said, what do you want us to do? Change your number.
Oh. Yeah.
So that's the problem, because I had a very close friend that was murdered by her ex-boyfriend, who did the same thing to her constantly, and she kept calling the police, you know, he's harassing me, he won't leave me alone, you know, and all these different things, and then they didn't do anything, and then the last time he contacted her, the very next morning, he broke into her apartment and killed her right in front of her 5-year-old child. And there was a lot of, you know, reports of how he just would not leave her alone, kept coming by the house, but because he didn't try to come in the house or because he didn't touch her, there was nothing done about it.
Right. And we're starting to see law enforcement get more educated on stalking and take more of a stance on it and understand that, you know, text messages today can lead to something more serious tomorrow. But it also comes down to how the victim is presenting it in some cases. And I know that personally, when I went to report my stalking situation, in order for stalking to exist, there has to be fear. And for me, that was really hard to show and let my guard down to the police. You know, I wanted to be mad about it because I was mad about it. But at the same time, I also had fear. And so there has to be that fear there, and you have to either get that officer that the first time understands that there's a problem because they've been through the training or had a similar case in the past that they know the significance of these things, or you have to be so persistent in calling and asking for supervisors and making sure that they do take that seriously. Because like I said before, it's so much of this falls on the victim to really put the case together for them, that it's, you're more than in any other crime, you really have to be your own advocate of this and just basically slam your fist down on the table metaphorically and say, I need something taken care of with this. You know, this is what's going on and I'm scared and this is going to lead to something more and I need you to stop it.
Right. So in your research and in the cases that come before you, do you think the cyber stalking is worse than the people who do the phone calls and come around and physically stalk people? You think they're even? What's your ratio of cases that you've heard?
Well, it's really a combination of both. People that have the cyber stalking usually feel more fear you know, just report statistically feeling more fear than people that are going through traditional stalking, just because I think they aren't sure who it is at some point. You know, they don't know sometimes who that person is and if that person is literally their next door neighbor, and they don't know what to expect. But I think that cyber stalking is becoming more prevalent because I personally believe you can use social media in a safe way, but I think there are a lot of people getting a little complacent with social media, and they're checking in at home, they're checking in at their job with the Foursquare and those types of services, and it's putting too much information out there. We teach our kids how to use the social media and the internet appropriately and how they can be safe on the internet and still get all the good out of it, and then it's like we turn 18 and throw all that out the window and just start telling everybody every place we're at. So I think that, because sometimes you don't know that your stalker's there until it's very apparent that they're there. My stalker likely stalked me for 2 years before she ever made it apparent that she was stalking me to where I ever knew. Jody's stalker had been stalking her for 10 years. Mm. And as far as we know, Jody did not know. She never went to anybody saying that she was aware of it.
Well, I mean, and so, that would be the point, because you don't know that you're being stalked. So you really can't notate what you really aren't aware of. And I think that's
right.
The major issue with the cyber stalking, because you can pretend to be someone else and stalking said individual, and you
right.
really have no recourse. So
right. It's all about safety, and just, you know, we, like I say, we teach our kids to be safe on the internet. We also teach our kids to be aware of their surroundings, and it's pretty much the same thing. If there's some, I get some emails from people sometimes that are saying, you know, I have this person on Facebook and they're doing this and they're paying really close attention to everything I put on, and they're getting a little creepy, and I just don't know if I should unfriend them. Yes, you should unfriend them. That's
yeah.
the beauty of social media, is you decide who's on there and who's listening. And if you know, go with your gut. If you think somebody's getting a little strange, and, you know, maybe it's somebody you know well, maybe it's somebody you don't know very well, whatever, just, yes, unfriend them. Take that information stream away from them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, as a point of advice, how do you feel we can stem the tide against cyber stalking and stalking in general?
I think it's being aware of it in your own life, as well as being there as a friend for others. I've heard some, you know, the stalking victims themselves usually isolate themselves and, you know, almost feel a little bit paranoid that people think that it's them in some way. And they need people around them. They need people to get them safe. They need help at that point. So it's being aware of the people, whether it's in social media or in the real world, of your friends, and being there to help them, as well as long as we're making jokes about it, we're not taking it seriously. We're normalizing the behavior. Stalking is one of the few crimes, too, that people think it's okay to joke about. And, you know, you see signs that say, we cordially invite you to stalk us on Facebook and Twitter. You know, they make jokes about it on TV, that sort of thing. It just normalizes it. And until we take it seriously and understand that it is a crime, just like domestic violence or rape or anything else, and quit making jokes about it, we're never really going to be as prepared as a society to take it on and put an end to it.
Yeah, I know. I can honestly say I've been guilty of doing that in the past, and I vow going forward that I will not use that word in that frame of thought ever again. Or at least
good.
I will try not to.
Well, I appreciate that. I was just thinking about the Elizabeth Smart case, the little girl with the
right.
guy, Cooley, that was actually, he was stalking her so much that he had a trailer on their property and they didn't even pay attention to it. And he got up one night and walked into their house got her out of the bed, raped her, and he even said that the little girl heard her father calling her, and that's when he decided to kill her. And that was just so heartbreaking because he was within 20 feet of his child and didn't even know that this guy was on his own property. He was so slick about it that he didn't even know he was the man was there. And so I think that, you know, being cognizant of our surroundings at all times, like some, you know, we forget, we just take little things for granted, you know, like switching up the way that we're going to work or going to school or going to the grocery store. We don't think about, you know, small details like that could actually save our lives if we were to, you know, just change the route that we take on an everyday basis. So.
Well, and I actually, Mr. Frank, wanted to ask you, in when you started Jody's Voice, what was the response? Did you feel like you got a favorable response from people, or do you think that you were met with a lot of skepticism?
I think we lost her.
Mr. Fromm?
Yeah, we're having some technical difficulties. We apologize.
Mr. Fromm, are you there?
Yes. I'm back.
Oh, there you go.
Okay.
Hello.
Well, sorry we lost you there. I don't know what happened. I wanted to ask you one other question. Do you feel like when you started your organization that you were met with a lot of skepticism or people didn't take you seriously? I mean, how were you perceived?
I think that Jody's case was such a dramatic case and that people were so ready for a change at that point that I've actually been helped quite a bit. You know, she was taken and killed in a town of 12,000 people in Kansas, of all places, you know, in the middle of broad daylight. So I think as the case that this is based on, for even those people that didn't know Jody, they find that so dramatic and such an eye-opener that it can truly happen to anyone, any place. You know, the number one question I get asked about her case was, how long did she date this guy? And she never had. You know, it wasn't... Nobody can assign that and say, oh, well, you know, she dated that type of guy, but I'll never do that. This can literally happen to anybody. I mean, it's not right for people to place that kind of blame, but I think sometimes that as a society, we do. And this was a case that nobody can turn around and say, well, she shouldn't have been in this place at that time, or she shouldn't have been doing this.
Right.
You know, she was taken in front of her home. So we got it accepted pretty quickly because of that, I think. And because there's so many people out there that, you know, there's over 3 million people reporting stalking each year in the United States. And recent statistics have said that that's as much as 50% underreported. So that's a huge number of people that are experiencing this.
Mm-hmm.
And they need somebody out there helping them and looking for a way to put an end to this.
Okay, and so if someone was interested in getting involved in your organization, where can they find you and how can they get involved?
At jodysvoice.org. Of course, we're on Facebook, Twitter, and Google+ as well. So follow us there, and just as, you know, we're always looking for volunteers for all different types of things. So pretty much any kind of experience that people have, we can find a place for them to volunteer. And we'll have some new announcements coming up shortly that I can't announce just yet, but there'll be some exciting things. So follow us on Facebook.
Okay. All right. Well, I want to thank you for taking the time out to come on the show and talk about this issue. It's a very serious issue, and I think more people should be cognizant of it. And I hope that we can get you back again so we can continue to talk about it and see how we've evolved and hopefully taking on cyber stalking and stalking in general and start to cut down on the cases.
Yes, anytime. Thank you for having me.
All right.
Thank you so much. Have a good evening.
You too.
Good night. All right. That was Miss Angela DeFron of jodysvoice.org. Check out the website. It's some serious stuff. And
there's a lot of information on there that people need to really know about.
Yeah.
Okay. It's
very, very, very serious stuff. And hopefully she can make a difference.
Yeah.
And on that note, we're gonna go on a break here. We'll be right back. This is Exhibit, Los Angeles Times.
Work.
together, you got to smooth drummer.
Welcome back to Smooth Drama with Thick Hugger and Miss 100%. That was Exhibit, Los Angeles Times.
Yep, you can see the whole city burning. The cops got Uzis and the dealers keep serving. And the kids ain't learning shit.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, and now we come to that part of the show where we talk about our haters and dumbasses of the week.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how we feel about that, don't we? Oh, okay. Yeah.
All right. Would you like me to do the honors?
First hater of the week, bust them out.
First hater of the week is the state of Iowa. The Iowa lottery officials decide that, well, they haven't made a final decision, but they're supposed to make the decision by tomorrow, I believe. There was a lottery ticket that hadn't been cashed in. The winning numbers came out in 2010, and then the person that just mysteriously showed up, I believe, on the 17th of January, and they were saying that it was too mysterious, the way that the winner showed up. And they didn't like the fact that the back of the ticket had a misspelled name of a company on the back of it and, right, you know, all this different stuff. But the bottom line is,
pay me.
They were one day away from not having to pay out that jackpot.
Pay me.
And now they're like, you know, trying to find a way. I say pay the money.
Right. Ticket, pay me. I don't want to hear nothing else.
Right. I didn't know that there was stipulations on the ticket. I thought, you know, if you hold the ticket, you get the money.
You get paid. That should be the bottom line.
Yeah.
My hater of the week. There was a New York Department story party put on by Tiffany's, supposed to be Beyonce's little sister Solange and the PR company. They put on the event, and Epic Group was so concerned they wanted all models to come and said they couldn't bring any guests unless they too were models. And of course people are upset, you know, because not everyone dates a model. So I can't bring my people, but they said, well, don't worry, we're gonna only let good looking people in.
What?
Yeah. So if you got to go to their party, you were good looking in their eyes.
Wow.
Whatever that is. I myself don't extend to the anorexic state of beauty, but that is just me. Now, my dumbass is real simple. A Wisconsin man who was arrested for allegedly punching his wife, who claims a ghost is responsible for it. He's been trying to get some paranormal researchers to back him up, but for obvious reasons, nobody's down with him. He's like, yeah, a ghost did it. Yep.
Wow. A ghost punched his wife?
Pretty much, yeah.
Oh. Well, then I need a ghost to punch a couple people that I feel need to be punched.
Yeah, a ghost or a demonic possession. He's trying it all. It's like, no. You're going to jail, homie, and that's it.
But you know what would be really sucky if it really was a ghost that did it? That's not funny, is it?
Well, that's what you get for being weak and letting them in your body in the first place.
Right, right. So, my dumbass, I'm going back to the state of Iowa. Mm. I don't know what it is about Iowa this week, but there's a supermarket in Iowa that fired 43-year-old Kyle Dowie. Yeah, Dowie. He worked at the supermarket for 25 years. And he was cashing in bottle deposit slips, and there was a bottle deposit slip left over, and I guess it got mixed in with his, and it was worth 20 cents. And when he went to cash his in, that was in there, and they said it wasn't his, and he was stealing, and they fired him for 20 cents.
Yeah. Yes.
After recycling, he got $3.75 worth of bottles.
So they're mad that he got $3.75 instead of $3.55?
Instead of $3.55. And they
I can see how that I can break the company.
Yeah.
Anyway. I have nothing. I do have something. Florida, you know, your Iowa is my Florida. Normally, I'm dissing Florida, but I can't diss Florida right now because there are some senators in Florida who have passed. It hasn't passed officially, but it's gone through the first committee in the Senate with a unanimous vote where professional sports facilities in this law where professional sports facilities built with the help of government funds are required to house the homeless on nights when no official events are taking place. So a couple of lawmakers have jumped onto that, and they are requiring that stadium owners return millions of taxpayer dollars if they can't prove they've been operating as a haven for the homeless in the past year since they began receiving checks from the government.
Okay.
Yeah. And one of the arguments from Senator Michael Bennett, Republican, he said, "We spent over $300 million supporting teams that can afford to pay a guy $7, $8, $10 million a year to throw a baseball 90 feet. I think they can pay for their own stadium. I cannot believe that we're going to cut money out of Medicaid and take it away from homeless and take it away from the poor and impoverished, and we're continuing to support people who are billionaires."
All right.
And, like, I read that, I almost had a heart attack. Like, what?
There are some good congressmen out there.
Well, hold on.
Somebody is on our side.
No, but hold on a second.
Oh, God.
You got to remember this, though. It just went through committee unanimously. Yeah. And these two are the two who really pushed for it. I mean, obviously, it can go away if maybe they start receiving some benefits from said sports teams.
Oh, my God.
I mean, it bears watching because, they introduce a bill and they're saying, hey, you have to give this money back, but who's to say that it's going to keep going? See, I bring it up because it's great as lip service goes.
Right.
But the question, 100, is does it go past lip service?
Right.
That is the question. Are they really going to make these cats get that money back? Or are they just saying it, putting the pressure on, and then all of a sudden they get that speaking tour all over the world?
So you think they just basically saying that to, you know, get themselves in a better political position, you know, where they can get some exposure?
Well, I mean,
It's
a great issue.
I mean,
as you say, it's a great issue. And yes. I support that. Hey, why are you paying billionaires money? Why are taxpayers giving billionaires money to build stadiums that we, the taxpayer, do not profit in?
Right. Well, could it just be possible? Could it just be possible that they really do care? I mean, I know, you know, how it goes, but could it be possible that they really do care and that they really are trying to get to push these things through?
Well, that's why we bring it up, because it bears watching. Because I don't want to hear about, oh yeah, we brought it up, it's wrong, but then nothing happens.
But I mean, they need support. They need other supporters, right?
It passed unanimously in committee. Now, will it become a bill? Or will it die on the vine when the vote comes around again for it to really become law, be enforced?
Yes.
Because it's actually a real statute that's 23 years old. So for 23 years, it has not been enforced. So somebody's dropped the ball for 20-some-odd years.
Yeah.
Now, are we going to... Is the money coming back, or is it once again that lip service? Now, do people care about that type thing? I don't know. I'm curious to see if it passes or not. You know,
well, that's one to watch.
Yeah, and I know, and this is something we're going to get into a little bit more, but for those of you who don't know, Google has changed their privacy policy. And then at tonight's issue, we talked about stalking and cyber stalking. You know, Google has changed their privacy policy where they're going to stalk you across all platforms under the guise of to help further enhance your services. And I find that it's very interesting, 100, that I can help you by watching everything you do. I'm thinking that would be unattractive to you, that I offer to help you by watching everything that you do.
Watching your, and they talk about that a lot. Well, we want to watch the trends, and, you know, we want to see, you know, what you buy, you know, what you watch, what you're spending your time on when you're online, so that we can create products that suit you better, or, you know, things like that. That's bull crap.
Well, like I said, we talked about stalking, and we talked about, as Mr. Franz said, we want to not trivialize it. Well, that is going on, and it's part of the public policy. Do we care that Google stalks you? I mean, because if you don't care if Google stalks you, then why should you care if anybody else does?
Right.
I mean, because Google is an extension of the government, so if the government else is stalking you, should you care about anything else?
After all, they're just trying to help you.
Yeah.
Right?
Right. And on that note, I want to thank Miss Angela DeFron of jodysvoice.org for coming on the show. Very useful information, and it's a very serious issue that affects everyone. And if you don't think it does, something wrong with you. And for Miss 100%, I'm Dick Hugger, a.k.a. F the N-Word, and with Smooth Drama, we out. Peace.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth drummer.